Good morning. Let's turn to Numbers chapter 4. Numbers 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, Take a census of the descendants of Kohath from among the sons of Levi by their families, by their fathers' households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, and all who enter the service to do the work in the tent of meeting. This is the work of the descendants of Kohath in the tent of meeting concerning the most holy things. When the camp sets out, Aaron and his sons shall go in, and they shall take down the veil of the screen and cover the ark of the testimony with it. And they shall lay a covering of purple skins on it, and shall spread over it a cloth of pure blue, and shall insert its poles. Over the table of the bread of the presence, they shall also spread a cloth of blue and put it on it, and dishes and the pans and the sacrificial bowls and the jars for the libation and the continual bread shall be on it. And they shall spread over them a cloth of scarlet material and cover the same with a covering of purple skins, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand for the light along with its lamps and its snuffers and its trays and all its oil vessels by which they serve it. And they shall put it and all its utensils in a covering of porpoise skins, and shall put it on the carrying bars. And over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of porpoise skins, and shall insert its poles. And they shall take all the utensils of service for which they serve in the sanctuary, and put them in a blue cloth, and cover them with a covering of porpoise skins, and put them on the carrying bars. And they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall also put it on all its utensils by which they serve in connection with it, the fire pans, the forks, the shovels, the basins, the utensils of the altar, and they shall spread a cover of porpoise skins over it and insert its poles. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the holy objects and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set out, after that the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, so they may not touch the holy objects and die. These are the things in the tent of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. And the responsibility of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is the oil for the light, and the fragrant incense, and the continual grain offering, and the anointing oil, the responsibility of all the tabernacle, and all of that is in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and to Aaron, saying, Do not let the tribe of the families of the Kohathites be cut off from among the Levites, but do this to them, that they may live and not die when they approach the most holy objects. Aaron and his sons shall go in and assign each of them to his work and to his load, but they shall not go in to see the holy objects even for a moment, lest they die. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Take a census of the sons of Gershon also by their fathers' households, by their families. From 30 years and upward to 50 years old, you shall number them, all who enter to perform the service to do the work in the tent of meeting. This is a service of the families of the Gershonites in serving and in caring. They shall carry the curtains of the tabernacle and the tent of meeting with its covering, and the covering of purple skins that is on top of it, and the screen for the doorway of the tent of meeting, and the hangings of the court, and the screen for the doorway of the gate of the court which is around the tabernacle, and the altar, and their cords, and all the equipment for their service, and all that is to be done they shall perform. All the service of the sons of the Gershonites, and all their loads, and all their work, shall be performed at the command of Aaron and his sons, and you shall assign to them as a duty all their loads. This is the service of the families of the sons of the Gershonites in the tent of meeting, and the duty shall be under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron, the priest. As for the sons of Merari, you shall number them by their families, by their fathers' households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, you shall number them. Everyone who enters a service to do the work of the tent of meeting, and now this is a duty of their loads for all their service in the tent of meeting, the boards of the tabernacle, the bars and its pillars and its sockets, and the pillars around the court and their sockets and their pegs and their cords, and all their equipment with all their service, and you shall assign each man by name the items he is to carry. This is a service of the families of the sons of Merari, according to all their service in the tent of meeting under the direction of Ithamar, the son of Aaron the priest. So Moses and Aaron and the leaders of the congregation numbered the sons of the Kohathites by their families and by their fathers' households from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tent of meeting. And their number of men by their families was 2,750. These are the number of men of the Kohathite families. Everyone who was serving in the tent of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered, according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. And the number of men of the sons of Gershom by their families and by their father's households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tent of meeting, and their number of men by their families, by their father's households, were 2,630. These are the number of men of the families of the sons of Gershon, everyone who was serving in the tent of meeting, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord. And the number of men of the families of the sons of Merari, by their families, by their father's household, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who entered the service for work in the tent of meeting, and their number of men by their families was 3,200. These are the number of men of the families of the sons of Merari, whom Moses and Aaron numbered according to the commandment of the Lord through Moses. All the number of men of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron, the leaders of Israel, numbered by their families and by their father's households, from 30 years and upward, even to 50 years old, everyone who could enter to do the work of service and the carrying of the ark of meeting, or the tent of meeting, and their number of men were 8,580. According to the commandment of the Lord, through Moses, they were numbered, everyone by his serving or carrying. Thus these were his numbered men, just as the Lord had commanded Moses. Amen. Okay, so we're moving into a little bit of finer detail regarding the Levites. So remember, there were three different families. There were the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites. There were three brothers of the tribe of Levi, and now they're each being given a specific function to operate within the tent of meeting. Remember, the tent of meeting that we spent a considerable amount of time in Leviticus and a little bit in Exodus dealing with was the place where God's presence was going to dwell. It was the place of the Holy of Holies. This would be the place where all the sacrifice. Remember, Israel at this time, actually up until about 80-70, was a sacrificial system of worship. In other words, it was blood sacrifice. It was atonement by these sacrifices, and that would be the way that they would meet and connect with God. Obviously, after the temple was destroyed, they changed that into a law system. And so then you have lawyers, scribes, Pharisees debating about the text. And so we see a major shift happening. So we're still in this sacrificial system here. And so the three different brothers are given a different duty to continue on. Why they were given three, I don't know. I'm sure there's a very good reason why the Kohathites were numbered in this. And then if you notice here, this is now not just a numbering of the people. Now this is numbering for the men that are fit to do this kind of service, meaning from 30 years old to 50 years old. So they basically have 20 years of service to offer, in particular in this tent of meeting. And so now you have the big number, think of all of Israel, brought down to one tribe of Levi, and then those numbers are dwindled, and those numbers are dwindled again. And so now from only 20 to 50. And so that there seems to be a time by which they work, right, these 30 years. And so the Kohathites go first, and notice, if you've ever seen pictures, and I realize that a lot of the pictures that we see now are totally wrong. Because if you see pictures of like old Israel pictures of people carrying the ark, and you know they're carrying the ark, and the ark is exposed. Totally wrong. They would never do that. And the ark would always be covered, and you know, and you're probably as confused as I am when we see this word purpose. I don't know if I'm saying this right. How do you say that? You know, a dolphin. Porpoise? Okay, I keep saying purpose. So a porpoise skin. But there are no dolphins in this area. This is one of those things that's like really, really difficult to translate. And for a long time, like a lot of the translations actually translated that as a badger. But that's actually confusing another Hebrew word, which sounds like the Hebrew word that they're using here. And so most likely the animal that they're talking about is a seal. And so obviously, you know, I mean, how many badgers do you need to cover the ark and all these other things? You need a lot. And so a seal was probably more likely the animal. I mean, if you actually go Google and look it up, you'll even see people talk about unicorns and, I mean, all kinds of really crazy things. And so, which goes to say, I mean, this is kind of a side note, but going back towards some of these translation issues. I don't know if you remember when Dr. Chang was here, and he was talking about the interpreting of the scriptures and the translation, all those things. Most of the translation errors are issues like this. Like, is it a badger skin? Is it a porpoise skin? You know, is it a seal skin? And it has nothing to do with the text or the context as well. And just to give you an idea of an example of what kind of that's like, and more so the difficulty in translating that into English, or translating that into Korean or, you know, other languages in those contexts. And then, you know, and then you keep that in mind, translating the scriptures through all these different languages, that the message is still very clear. I think that's a kind of a work and act of God. And so every single one, now notice that the packing of the materials was done by Aaron and his sons. No one else entered into that time. The carrying of the items, covered, you know, packed, all those things, was the duty of the Levites. And so there was a very specific order by which God wanted to wanted his house to be moved. There were some things that was really the sole responsibility of only some of the sons, and like the light. If you look at verse 16, the oil for the light and the fragrant incense and the continual grain offering and the anointing oil. This oil, why it's so important, because this light was supposed to be continual. Remember, this flame was supposed to be taken care of 24/7. And this is be akin to the presence of God is 24/7. And or God's light upon the people was 24/7, another way that you can translate that. And so each of these things that the sons, all these guys had a responsibility for, and this is really the takeaway for me when I read a passage like this. The great care and concern that the Israelites, especially the Levites, particularly the Kohathites, the Gershonites, and the Merarites, depending on what they're doing. See, it wasn't a competition about, okay, you get to handle the special things, you get to handle the outside stuff, you get to handle the bars, and there wasn't any competition about what they were doing. Every single one was committed to a purpose to carry out what God had called them to carry out. Now, that sounds a lot like the New Testament, doesn't it? It sounds like a lot like when Paul tells us that we are one body and that each member has a role in the body, and each role in the body is very important. The hand can't say to the eye, oh, you know, you're not as good as me, or I think there's other way, the eye is the hand, and, you know, so on and so forth, and that every single one has a very specific role in the body to carry out the work of service. In other words, out of their servanthood. And so, you know, in that same way, the Merarites can say, oh, you know, you Kohathites, man, why do you guys get to do that? I want to do that. No, there wasn't anything like that. They just fulfilled, but they did it with all their heart. They did it with extreme care. I mean, think about this. I mean, this is a bad illustration, okay? But just to understand in context, let's say your job in the sanctuary, this sanctuary, is to pass out bulletins, okay? What if you passed out bulletins, and if you did it in the wrong way, that you would die? Can you imagine? You know, so that if you, I don't know, I know this is really lame already, okay? But you passed out the bulletin with your left hand, and you should have done it with your right hand, and you should have had a little bow before and a smile on your face, and you didn't do that, and you died. I guarantee that you would take your job a little bit more seriously in that regard. Well, that's the context here of these guys. They're taking their jobs very seriously. They're taking their privilege of serving the Lord very seriously. I mean, one side is because they could die if they don't. You know, they touch a part of the ark or whatever it may be. On the spot, you know, they would be deceased. And I'm not trying to say let's serve the Lord with incredible fear, but the other side is let's serve the Lord with incredible respect. I mean, let's really serve God with all of our heart, whatever God is asking you to serve in. In our church context, if it's in welcoming, you know, let's come early. Let's pray for every person that we pass out a bulletin to. Let's pray for every person that steps into the church. If you're serving in Noah's Ark, let's prepare our work beforehand so that we don't scramble and turn the office into a mess upstairs, which the staff doesn't really appreciate all that much. You know, I'm speaking as a staff person myself. Right? Instead, let's prepare beforehand. Let's come to church ready to serve our kids and to pray for our parents and pray for the kids that are coming that you know, and our lessons are prepared and we're ready to serve them and lead them, you know, in anything. If you're serving an Alpha, the same thing, right? Let's come before the Lord and let's pray and pray for our guests and pray for our volunteers and, you know, and ask God's hand to be upon us. And, you know, we can go along the line, men's ministry, worship team, communion, you know, guys that are there for communion. Let's be ready. Let's pray. Let's pray that every person that receives the bread and the juice would just get a sense of the holiness of God in our lives instead of just coming to fulfill a duty. You guys understand what I'm saying? Right? There's something about that. No matter what area that you're serving in as a house church leader, let's not just not go through the motions and this is what we do and I just got to show up on time and do this thing and that's all that's required. No, let's pray for our house church members that they would really grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's take serving unto the Lord with incredible reverence. If you're hosting house church, in that same regard, let's pray over your house and say, Lord, every person that steps into our place, our home today, you know, for house church, they would come face to face with the presence of God. And something of the Spirit of God would work in their heart and change them and draw them closer and closer to God, right? Whatever area that you're serving in, as a barista, right, you're serving coffee, and it could seem like, you know, pretty menial labor in a sense, but why not have a different attitude and say, Lord, every cup of coffee, every tea that I make, let it be a soothing refreshment for their souls. Let something of the Holy Spirit begin to mark and work in their hearts in that regard. Now, I'm talking about serving in church. How about serving in your work now? Right? Instead of, you know, oh man, I got to go to work today. Instead of that kind of attitude, how about going to your workplace and saying, Lord, how can I serve my boss? How can I serve my colleagues? How can I take what you've given to me and respect it and make it holy in this regard? You know, I'm not just there to grab a paycheck and serve my time. I'm there to be a blessing. And it's a whole different attitude. Man, I pray. My prayer for myself as well, for all of us, that, you know, I don't go through the motions. You know, I know how to come up with sermons now. I've been doing it for so much time. You know, I know how to sit down and study and, you know, come up with 1, 2, 3, 4 and so on and so forth. But instead of just going through the motions of just really prayerfully going through the whole process and saying, God, what does my church need to hear? You know, what word, you know, what insight can I bring that will bring them closer and closer to Jesus in their life? And in your workplace and whatever, I pray, man, that we would have hearts like these guys did. They were very serious about their service unto God. They took it very seriously. They took it with great honor. They were honored among the tribes. Man, you were honored not only, you know, to become a Christian, but to serve the Lord, that God gave you abilities. God gave you opportunities. God gave you all kinds of different things, you know, to serve him, and that we serve him in the right way. Not just going through the motions, but serving God with all of our heart, with so much joy. You know what I mean? With such glee that, man, I get to serve the Lord, right? I'm a part of this body. I get to serve this body. You know, I'm just a toenail. Well, gosh darn it, I'm going to be the best toenail that I can be. You know, I'm just a hair, but I'm going to be the best hair, you know, that I can be. I'm going to make this body warm or whatever. I'm going to protect my toes. It's early in the morning. Sorry, my illustrations are really poor. But I hope you understand what I'm trying to say. I mean, to really serve God with all of our heart and consider it such a privilege to serve the Lord. You know, honestly, I'll just speak from my own heart. You know, at times when I become tired even in the work of the ministry, is because I forgot what a joy it is to serve God. I forgot what a joy it is to be even asked to serve the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What an incredible privilege of God that He would ask me and He would ask you to some do the most humblest things. But what a privilege that we have received from God, right, to do the work of the ministry. And again, my prayer this morning is, man, we'd have that same heart like these brothers did and their generations after them. You know, my kids watch me serving. You know what they want to do? They also want to serve the Lord themselves. What a legacy we can pass down to our children. You know, what an incredible privilege that, you know, we're some of you guys may be first-generation Christians. You know, I sort of am, in the sense that our family all kind of got saved in the same time. I'd say I'm more like 1.5. You know, and in that regard, and what a privilege that I get to teach my kids to also the privilege of serving the Lord. Amen? So let's close our eyes. And the worship team come. Has serving God become routine? Whatever you are in your service. Now, if you're sitting here as a member of this church and you're not serving at all, okay, that's your first thing to do. You're going to find a place, find your part in the body. There's a lot of different ministries that need your help. Local outreach. If you have a heart for, you know, God, go and share that with people. There's so many different ministries. And so, now that you have a place to serve, in that, are we serving with all of our heart? Are we looking at it as a privilege to serve the Lord, to build His house in that regard? And let the Holy Spirit speak to us as we sing.
Of our praise. of our praise. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are
pray this morning. Let's thank God for the privilege of being able to serve Him. If our service has become remote, routine, lacking our heart, let's ask God to change our hearts. Let's look at serving Him with joy, great honor, privilege, respect. Let's commit ourselves once again to serving God in His house. Let's pray over our community that are battling cancer. Let's pray for God's healing. Let's pray for God's touch. Continue to remember the families as well as they battle together. Let's just lift them up. Let's pray for our community that is ill, but also has not yet given their life to Jesus. And let's pray that God would reveal Himself to them through their healing, but also the presence of God would meet with them. Pray for our community dealing with non-cancer related illnesses. Let's pray for God's healing. pray for our community that's looking for work, and let's pray for God's provision. Our mission focus, and let's pray for Hong Kong today. Let's pray over our government. Let's pray that they would rule righteously. Let's cover the wealth gap and pray for revival and cover the churches. Let's pray for our friends ministering here. Let's pray for SSI and Shanti and Master's Beauty, Sons and Daughters, Feed the Hungry, CSW, and the Korean Church. Let's pray for the Lord to use these ministries and our friends to really make an impact in this city. Let's pray. Let's cover our staff before the Lord. Let's pray for strength during this fast, that we would do our work of service with all of our heart and with so much joy and privilege, and we would work well together as a team. There would be unity. Janelle, you should put Ben on that list as well. And so let's just cover our staff and our interns and just ask the Lord's hand to be upon us. Let's pray over our worship, sound, and media teams. Let's ask the Lord to continue to use them. Really give them a heart of worship. Let's pray particularly for our worship teams. They'll be worshiping the Lord on their own. And then when they come on Sunday of the service, there'll just be an overflow of that worship. And pray for the heart to serve. Always cover our equipment, right? There's always drama with our equipment. And just ask God's hand to be upon these teams. Pray for our arts ministries, Arts Anonymous. Let's pray for a real spirit of creativity. Let's pray for unity in the spread, the newspaper that comes out. Let's pray for everyone involved that would use their gifts and their talents and and to really communicate God's word into our community. And so let's cover our artists before God. Go to our member prayer focus, and this morning let's pray for Eva. Pray for a hunger to read the word more this year. Pray for a deeper intimacy with God, and pray for her family's salvation, her parents and younger brother to know God as love, comfort, and affirmation. Let's pray for Eva and her family. Let's pray for Constance and pray for her dad to be cancer-free and to move back to Vancouver to live a healthy, organic lifestyle. Pray that she meet a suitable partner worthy of a long-time relationship and marriage, and for opportunities to open up in management for career advancement. And let's lift up Constance. Also this morning, let's pray for Jackie. Let's pray that Jesus would be the center as a husband and father. Pray for their his family's salvation, and just the workplace, a need to a clarity of where to settle, especially in this new venture. Let's lift up Jackie. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you this morning, and we thank you for just a wonderful reminder, God, about our service. Lord, help us to serve you with all of our heart, God, that we take it as an incredible responsibility. We take it with such joy, with such honor, an incredible privilege, God, that you would choose us to serve you. And so we thank you, and now let us operate and serve, Lord, in that way. We thank you, Lord. We love you, God. Watch over us today, Lord, as we seek to glorify your Son, Jesus, in all that we do and say. We love you, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Bless you. Enjoy the rest of your prayer time. Have a great day. Please continue to send your prayer requests in. And even after the 21 days, we'll pray for everyone, okay? So it's not just limited to this time. And so please send it in.